This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
2-1 pitch. Swing, line drive, left field over Guerrero to hit. The game's over. Toronto scores 7 in a row. Guerrero scores. Alejandro Kirk with the game-winning walk-off single. And the Red Sox lose one that was almost impossible to lose. 7-6-10.
Wolf City for the Red Sox last night.
Man,
cruising. They're up 6-0. They're hitting more home runs.
Alex Bregman can't get out.
Giolito cruising.
Not bad. Giolito, pretty solid.
Until he wasn't. Bullpen comes in and pours gasoline on the fire.
On themselves. Garrett Whitlock, not his outing.
Not what you're looking for.
No.
You got Vlad advancing from second to third in extra innings. Rafaela drills him with a throw. And then the Blue Jays walk it off. The rubber game all comes down to Tanner Houck tonight. Not sure how I feel about that. But you can jump in on the Red Sox here, hour number two of Jones and Keefe. We got all your Patriots phone calls as well. Drake May speaking about 45 minutes from now. You can still weigh in on Bill and Jordan. A lot of you looking to do that at 617-779-7937. Plus, we'll talk to Rob Bradford. Baseball isn't boring. At 11:30, as we do each and every Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. Worst loss of the year, Keefe?
Yeah, I think it has to be, you know, because of you're up 6-0 in the, you know, later half of the game, and then you lose 7-6. So I would say so. And there's also, you know, you had an opportunity for Lucas Giolito to get the win. You know, he was in line for the win. He pitched really well. Obviously, the last thing he pitched wasn't great, but still, he leaves with what goes down as a quality start. You know, he had 3 earned runs, 6 innings. He had 7 strikeouts. I know Cora was a little worried about the walks. I heard him talking about with WEI Afternoons yesterday about, you know, and all these rehab starts, Giolito's walking a lot of guys. Remember Nick was saying, pound the over on walks. He only walked 2 guys.
Yeah, so he didn't hit. He did not hit the over. Was that Nick or was that the text line?
Maybe it was text line.
Yeah. I was on the over on home runs.
Well, he did allow 2 home runs.
He did give up 2 of those.
He will give up a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
But if you told me he's going to have, you know, a 4.5 ERA, like, I'll take it.
So,
for the season, for Giolito, fine. 6 innings, I'll take it.
It's hard to get too mad at Whitlock. I mean, Whitlock came in and didn't pitch well, but, like, it's hard to get mad at him. He's been good.
He has been good, and, you know, he's, I guess, due for one of these.
And I don't have any real big takeaways from that, other than it just wasn't a good night for him. He gave up, again, the 3-run shot to Santander. I don't really think this is a second guess, but if you want to call it a second guess, fine. We were going around the room yesterday late in the show. We're like, what do you expect out of Giolito? 4 innings. I think we all said 4 innings. But I do remember saying, well, there's no way he's going past 5, right? Do you have any issues with Cora going back to Giolito? They didn't really use the bullpen the day prior. You use Whitlock for 2 innings anyway. That was clearly the plan. So there's 2 innings right there. You only have to piece together 2 more. Mm-hmm. Did you have any issue with Cora going back to Giolito for the 6th?
No,
instead of just getting him out and saying, hey, good start.
I feel like he's been pretty consistent with this. There's been a few times where I was like, I would have taken Crochet out even an inning earlier.
The pitch count was super. Even with the 6 innings,
total.
He finished at 90. So the pitch count was low.
And it wasn't a 1-run game. Even with the 3 runs allowed, you leave with a 3-run lead, giving it to the bullpen for what should only be 3 innings. I know it ended up going to extras, but what should only be 3 innings, and the bullpen has been good this year.
It's just it was his first start. It's the only reason I bring that up.
It was his first start.
And you're going a, what, 3rd time through the order, which usually is time to get your starter out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that to me is the only reason I bring it up. And I really don't think it's a second guess because we talked about yesterday.
No.
5 innings you'd be super happy with.
But if I told you that it was, you
know, 5 scoreless, maybe I'd feel different.
5 scoreless, yeah. But if you, right. 5 scoreless, and I forget what the pitch count was after that. You're like, you're up 6-0. You're cruising through 5. And he's done this with other guys because I think there were, you know, even, you know, Crochet's first start, you're like, all right, get him out now. Like, make him feel good about it. And he went out for, like, the 8th inning or whatever it was. So,
what did you think about – I'm sorry.
I actually think – wasn't Giolito – didn't he have 2 outs in the 6th inning and then it all fell apart?
That might be right. They were back-to-back home runs. Was it 2 outs? Hang on, I have it in front of me. Scroll. It went – yeah, 2 outs. Correct. In fact, the first two, then walk, then home run.
I think it was 2 outs, 2 strikes, and then it all fell apart.
Yeah, good point.
So look,
he was cruising.
Maybe it's not fair, but that's one I would look at.
But if you're up three and you have only three innings of relief and you're thinking Whitlock for two and Chapman, I think you won the game.
But again, your bullpen was pretty fresh. You didn't need to stay away from your bullpen. You didn't need the extra inning is my point, especially if you were going to – Whitlock was clearly the plan either way.
Yeah.
Whitlock gave up the bomb and came back out. So, you know,
yeah, would you have brought Whitlock back?
No.
Yeah, so that's where I've – okay, there you go. I have more of an issue with Whitlock coming out for a second inning than I do Giolito coming out for a sixth.
And the second inning went fine, but I have an issue with that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me give you this one. I didn't really pick up on this in real time, but Tom Caron mentioned it postgame, and I'm like, huh. Was Raffaello ready on the fly ball to lead off the 10th inning? Red Sox don't score top of the 10th with the Ghost Runner.
Mm-hmm.
Was Raffaello ready? Because Vlad shouldn't be going second to third.
No.
Vlad.
Yeah, no. Your Vol guys. They're the last guy in the lineup to do that.
And Caron mentioned this. He's like, was Raffaello, was he fully set? Was he ready to throw? Now, if the throw doesn't hit Guerrero, they probably get him.
Mm-hmm.
But did they go because of the way Raffaello kind of loafed after the fly? But, like, I think that's a fair second guess.
Yeah.
I think he's a great defensive player, but was he a little asleep on that play?
And he's really in the lineup because of his fielding, right? So, like, a guy like that, and I know you're not going to have, you know, errorless seasons or not, that wasn't even an error, but
no.
Just, like, you're not going to have perfect defense all the time. But that's one thing that's keeping him in the lineup and playing every day in somebody like Roman Anthony down in Worcester. So, yeah, I think that's one that you can put on him. Like, that, you don't expect that from him.
No. And again, Guerrero's at third. They intentionally walk the next two guys. Kirk walks it off. Mm-hmm. Text line is chastising you and I, Keith.
Wait, what?
This comes up after every Red Sox. This has to be the same individual. I see it every day. After the Red Sox lose. Guys, tell us again how good the management is, please. Please, guys, get back on the ship. Tell us how well-built this team is. Great players everywhere.
And I think it's a pretty good team. I know they're only two games over 500 right now, but
two games over 500. They're a game and a half out of first. I mean, right. I mean, I expected them to be a little
aren't
better.
Aren't the Dodgers 500 in the last 20 games?
I don't even know, but I'm saying
like 10 and 10.
If you're asking me, did I expect them to be a little bit better? Sure, but like, what? They're a terrible team now. No one's saying they're a terrible team.
No.
I mean, besides this texter.
No.
Where are they again in runs? I meant to look this up. In runs, they are now fourth in baseball in runs. They just got passed by the Dodgers. They played one extra game. So maybe on a runs per game basis, they're a little bit further down.
Because it's like the Dodgers, Cubs, Yankees have scored more runs.
Yeah.
That's it. And the Cubs have Kyle Tucker, so that's not fair. And then the Yankees have Judge. And then you have the Dodgers. So, like, obviously, so you almost like, you're like, all right.
We'll get to him.
Tip your cap on those three teams.
We'll get to Kyle Tucker, Keith.
But the Red Sox are scoring runs. I thought, yeah, like, the thing that jumps out to you is that they blew a 6-run lead and they lost the game they should have won. However, I will take Lucas Giolito having that kind of performance.
Me too. Save that text for tomorrow. They lose today and Houck gets his brains beaten in and they drop 2 out of 3 to Toronto. Fair text. You know, they're one game over 500. Who knows? Like maybe a more fair text tomorrow than today. But if you think we overrated the Red Sox, feel free. Let us know. 617-779-7937.
You had him in the World Series.
I did have him in the World Series. I
had him in the ALCS.
While we're going back to offseason predictions, I mean, no one wanted Bregman more than me. And Bregman's been awesome.
Bregman's awesome.
So I'll stand by that text line. I don't see anybody
in
calling me out on that one.
Yep.
Let's mix in some of these Patriots phone calls.
All right.
If you want to jump in on the Red Sox, you can. It's May 1st. I think every month we're going to be updating the Dong Pool draft. So we'll give you the standings in the Dong Pool coming up as well.
No, let's not.
At least five people care about those standings. I don't know if anybody else does, but we did the draft. We're going to update you.
We'll update you. They want to know. Get a lot of emails about the Dong Pool.
Let's go to Jake in Boston's waiting very patiently. Hello, Jake.
Okay. What's up, boys? Far too nice to Linda. Far too nice. But did you guys?
So hang on. You think we're being too easy? You think Linda was a bigger problem than we do? Like, I don't think Linda was a big problem because she let...
It was like a talker or distraction or anything.
Nike was at the draft. Like, that was a silly thing.
It was a COVID draft. Who cares?
But it wasn't like Jordan.
Williams. No, you're just noticing it because the age gap is facilitating the coverage. Like, why is the New York Times beating our papers on the realtor stuff when we knew about the relationship a year and a half ago? I mean, we knew about the...
But they dated for 16 years, and she wasn't 24, and she was appropriate for his age. And as far as I know, she wasn't stomping around making football decisions at practice. Like, she wasn't doing that.
Well, what's interesting is like, we know what Belichick is. But for the last 7 years, I've told you that if you wanted to hear a quote from a Belichick, Jen Belichick would tell you more about the team than Bill.
Ah.
And yesterday, Jen Belichick offered the first comment from a Belichick family member, including Bill's fake statement yesterday on this interview, when she responded to an Instagram post on the Dudes Bros podcast that Gronk and Edelman put on. And she responded to Nikki Glaser. Nikki Glaser basically agreed with Gronk and Edelman and said, She was acting as his publicist. Publicists do this during interviews, which is correct. But Jen Belichick responded to that comment from Nikki Glaser and said, publicists act in a professional manager or professional manager and don't storm offset delaying the interview. So even within Bill's own household, there is disagreement on what's going on. And we all want to hear from the Jens and the kids of the world.
Well, Jake, I'm cutting him off.
According to TMZ, too. So that's Steve Belichick's wife. Yep. People are wondering who that even is. Mm-hmm. So she commented on that and then made her Instagram private.
Nice. Yeah. Maybe she thought it already was. So, so she basically said publicists act in a professional manner. Nikki Glaser compromised. I think she's very funny, but compromised. She did the roast with Gronk and Edelman.
Oh, yeah.
Belichick. So she's defending them effectively.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, Jake says he wants to hear from all the Bella. I mean, I guess I'd be interested to hear from Steve and Brian.
I think we have an idea.
But, like, right.
I think I have a pretty good idea.
What do you think they think about this relationship? Like, Jake's right to identify that comment. It's an interesting comment. It's picked up a lot of steam on social media today. Who has it? TMZ?
Yeah, TMZ's like all over. TMZ doesn't stop with this.
So, like, you know, I guess would I be interested to hear how Steve actually feels? Sure.
Oh, man. Hey.
But do you really need to hear from them? I think we all know what's going on.
Think of a general idea.
She spent $8 million. Yeah. Either been given $8 million or spent $8 million of Bill's, hard-earned dollars. Mm-hmm. And that's $8 million less the kids have now. So what do you think they
think? Nice Porsche, too.
Yeah, throw that on there
nice
as well.
Nice Porsche?
Yeah.
Not bad.
So, like, I expected they felt this way. That's not shocking to me.
I agree.
But it is interesting. Should we try another one of these?
Keith? Sure.
I believe this individual wants to go on the clock.
Okay.
Let's try to keep it. I mean, we're breaking up with her, but let's try to be nice about it.
Yeah.
Brian in Salem, you got 30 seconds. Go ahead, Brian.
I want to save Bill from himself. You just slip out the back, Bill. Make a new plan, Bill. You don't need to be coy, Bill. You just listen to me. You just hop on the bus, Bill. No need to discuss more. Just hop off the key, Bill, and your grab bag's free.
Thank you very much, Brian. Very good. Didn't even need the full 30 seconds.
Did he say grab bags?
Yeah. Why did he turn it into a grab bag stinger?
A live grab bag.
Why not?
We never had one of those before.
Get on the bus,
Should I
Bill.
Grab that and save it?
You might as well. Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, I'd say sure.
Sure. So he's like basically just like run and hide. Go into hiding.
Okay, so while I think, Keith, our 60-second plans are pretty productive. Maybe maybe taking the 30 seconds from the listeners is not going quite how we expected.
No,
but.
It's all right. This is why you try. This is why I try things.
Look, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah.
Shoot or shoot.
Uh-huh.
Tim and Brockton on Drake May. Go ahead, Tim.
All right.
Okay, so the whole Dre Bay situation is they're going to come up with another excuse as why he's failing as a quarterback. He's not going to live up to that, and it's going to be the coach's fault. It's going to be the wide receivers. Oh, no, it's going to be the O-line. Oh, it's going to be something else. The kid is not that really good. I'm Mr. Mediocre or whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, he's mediocre, and they shouldn't have got rid of Joe Milton. It should have been a QB competition, but he had to go to front office to go cry and say, I'm the face of the franchise, and if you guys want to count on me, then you guys got to get rid of him. He's a crybaby. His character reveals what type of person he is. We should have kept Joe Milton.
Okay, so
the whole media core.
I love it.
I'm happy he identified himself as that guy.
Honestly, there's not enough counter to Drake May, right? Everybody thinks he's going to be good. You and I both think he's going to be good or is good and will be good.
I do, but don't you have some of the fears that he has?
Yes, 100%.
Me too.
So he brings up a great point. Do you think if Drake May struggles this year, there'll be an obvious thing to point to as to why it was a mess? So last year, if he had a bad game, even if it was something he did, you'd be like, O-line's a train wreck. Alex Van Pelt doesn't know how to call plays. You know, Jonathan Kraft even said Alex Van Pelt doesn't even know how to call plays. He has received
a disaster.
Yeah. Like, there are a million excuses. Uh-huh. Worst receiving core, worst offensive line, team blows, head coach is an idiot, like, everything. Now, we went over this yesterday. They improved. They either stayed the same or improved everywhere across the board. So if Drake May doesn't have a big year two jump, is it all on Drake May, or are people going to find a way to point to something else?
Well, this is why I think it's important to ask him if he had – did you have any input on Steph Diggs? Did you have any input on Kyle Williams? Because, like, Brady could complain all he wanted about Mohamed Sanu and how it didn't work out. You wanted
he
Mohamed Sanu.
Wanted him, yeah.
So And look, maybe Drake won't answer that question, but if we can get any insight into Drake, if Drake, Kyle Williams is Drake May's handpicked receiver, then no, you don't get to complain when Kyle Williams sucks.
Well,
or
if,
but he was influential in recruiting Steph Diggs to New England, and he wanted Steph Diggs. If we find any of that stuff out, I don't think he can turn around and blame those
so
guys.
So here's how I think he could still get excuses for him would be if Will Campbell has to play guard and you have a rotating left tackle, which I don't think is going to happen. But if that happens, that'd be an excuse. And if Steph Diggs isn't ready till like halfway through the season and then like looks like hurt.
That is a fair one.
Because then you're like, all right, if your top receivers are Mac Hollins, Kendrick Bourne, and Kyle Williams, then like not ideal. So maybe people would still defend him that way, right?
Yeah,
like, excuse away bad play.
People will. I mean, people absolutely
not Tim
will.
And Brockton.
No, not Tim and Brockton.
Tim and Brockton's
but
all
the majority
over.
Of people probably will. But I think he'll start to figure some of that out. And I am nervous Drake's a little bit of a crybaby. I am nervous about that.
All right.
And he was threatened by Joe. I'm absolutely worried about that. I mean, I think we were on that very early, Keith, the second Joe Milton got traded. And Reese is like,
it was about
QB room dynamics. We're like, well, who's dynamics in the QB room?
Right.
Was that Joe Milton acting out and expecting that he was better than he should be? He wanted to be the starter. I don't even think that's the worst thing in the world, but give me more details and we can adjust. Or was it Drake May feeling threatened? Like, I am worried about that. I'm not telling you he is that, but I am worried that there's some of that going on. 617-779-7937. I will talk to Rob Bradford. Baseball isn't boring. Coming up at 11:30. Drake May, scheduled to speak live at 11:45. Maybe we'll get some of these answers. You'll hear it live here on Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Now, Keefe.
Yes.
Way back before the season started, I believe right on the eve of
opening day.
MLB's opening day.
That's right.
After the Dodgers and Cubs already started in Japan.
Well, they played like a week
earlier.
But
the full opening day.
For real.
We did a dong pool draft.
Yeah.
We each drafted four players. All five of us.
Mm-hmm.
Me, you, Nick, Billy, Terp. We all drafted four players, purely adding up the home runs.
Season-long dongs.
We wanna let you know periodically how that's going. We put you through the draft. You listen to the draft. We'll update you on how.
It's not going to disappear.
First place in the dong pool standings after 1 month plus of baseball. Terp.
He snaked everybody's picks, and he is way out in front.
31 home runs.
Hoops.
His leader is the big dumper, Cal Raleigh.
Well, we saw him
with 10
up
homers.
Close.
So he sniped Cal Raleigh. You did. That's true. Very close. You and Chime.
Nick was talking about Cal Raleigh for weeks before the draft.
And that's on Nick. Nick kind of let it slip that was one of his targets.
Here. Brian was here when that happened. So not the case.
Collusion.
Wow.
Collusion.
You're saying a game of telephone.
I think there's a leak.
So,
it's Brian. We found it.
So he sniped the big dumper
from Nick.
And he sniped Kyle Tucker from you.
My NL MVP.
And he made $20 via Venmo from an anonymous text messenger to snipe it from Keith.
That's true. So he already won.
He's up $20 and he's winning the dong pool right now, 31 homers.
Everything's coming up Terp.
I am currently in second.
Okay.
27 home runs.
Not too far off.
Only four out of first, led by Aaron Judge with 10 homers. My Braves crew of Matt Olson and Austin
Judge
Riley
the Braves.
Dragging me down. Yep. Nick, sitting right in the middle, third place, 20 home runs, led by Brent Rooker, eight homers.
All right.
Billy Lanny in fourth, 19 homers. First pick in the draft, Shohei Ohtani leads his team with
just
seven.
Just socked the dong, was it yesterday?
Did he?
As a dad, I believe, for Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, nice. Dad strength.
Dad strength.
So Billy's currently in fourth, but probably
sky's the limit.
Green arrow up, I would imagine. And all alone, dead last.
It's not going great.
Rich Keefe.
Yeah, it stinks.
16 measly little homers.
16.
And eight of them are from Fernando Tatis Jr. Great pick, Keefe. So the rest of you have
Vlad Guerrero is on my team. The guy doesn't hit home runs anymore.
Actually, I'm looking at it. He has two guys from the teams that have the least amount of home runs in the league.
What's going on? Are they doing something to the ball? Are they de-juicing the balls? They moved the fences back in these parks?
So now I'm starting to think it wasn't me and Keith that jinxed Garrett Crochet. I'm just thinking it was Keith. When we were at Fenway, Keith jinxed him.
I could be the problem.
You're jinxing you're jinxing whole teams in baseball with
ridiculous.
Your dog pool draft. So Keefe all
10 is the number.
Last.
So Judge, Cal Raleigh, and Eugenio Suarez.
Undrafted.
Yeah. All have 10 dongs this year. Mike Trout is 9. We were all scared off by Mike Trout's injury history that nobody took Mike Trout.
I think he's now hurt again.
I was going to say, he's about to get hurt.
He's day-to-day.
Yeah, you got great.
He's legit day-to-day.
Congratulations, you got 9 home runs.
Knee soreness or something?
Who has it?
He's also hitting 179.
Half of his hits are home runs. Yeah, 18 hits, he has 9 dongs.
Keith, we don't track that in the dog pool.
No,
we don't care about that.
Home runs only. I get it.
Or do I? Who has Corey Seager? You, Nick?
Yeah,
so like Nick has Seager on the IL right now.
That was my fourth round pick.
Yeah, he has him on the IL. Nothing you can do. No transactions.
Just gotta wear
draft
it.
And follow.
That's right.
We'll update you on June 1st. So go nowhere. Stay tuned for that. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We're brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Tomorrow at 11:30, you can catch the Friday four-pack, a four-pack of questions, some about sports, some not. Who knows where they're going to go, so plan for that tomorrow at 11:30. Coming up about 15 minutes from now, you'll hear from Patriots quarterback Drake May. Scheduled to speak live at 11:45. You'll hear it here on WEEI, and we'll go back on the clock. If you missed our plans for Bill to break up with Jordan, we'll play those for you again at high noon. But joining us right now on Jones and Keefe, as he does every Thursday at 11:30, Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, and WEEI.com. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. McFarlandEnergy.com. By the E.L. Harvey companies, including Nauset Disposal and Miga Disposal, your local trash collection and recycling providers, and by Aviva Trattoria, Italian-inspired, locally made from fresh, whole, locally sourced ingredients. Rob Bradford, how are we doing this week?
Oh, I'm so good. I love Toronto. McFarland to you all. I'm staring at the CN Tower. You ever been up there?
No.
Big tower
no.
in Toronto?
I've been to Toronto. No? I've never been to the top of the tower, no.
Are you guys heights guys? Are you
no,
scared of
nah,
heights?
Not for my sure favorite. Not. Yeah, no. Not my favorite. No.
No, well, they have like the glass floor thing where, I mean, it just freaks you out. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Terrifying.
No.
Listen,
terrifying.
No, listen, you get...
Would I probably survive?
Look,
would I probably survive walking out on the glass floor? Maybe, but there's no reason to find out. It's like, would I probably survive jumping out of a plane, parachuting down? Maybe, but I don't want to find out. So, Bradford, we found out about the Red Sox in the first month of the year. Through April, how would you grade the Red Sox to this point? Two games over 500, game and a half out of first.
I would say a B-minus. You know, I give their documentary a C+. I'll give them a B-. I think that the American League, as we have proclaimed and defined, it kind of stinks. They're fortunate in that respect. I think there's two teams more than 5.5 games out right now in all of the American League. The Red Sox, you go through three straight games of 30 runs in three games, and then you go through the first five innings of last night, and they can't be stopped. Everything's coming together. That's what you're screaming from the mountaintops, and then boom, it sort of collapses. So it's sort of a microcosm, right? I mean, we think that they're pretty good, like last night. We think they're pretty good. But then there's that unexpected hiccup. Before it was Devers or Cassis, and last night it was Whitlock. And, yeah, so I think that they're just as talented. Here's the thing, guys. Like, they're just as talented as any team in the American League. So I guess that's a pretty good starting point as we head into May.
What did you think of Lucas Giolito making his Sox debut last night? And then what did you think of the decision to roll him back out there for the sixth inning?
Yeah, he was obviously really good. I saw him in the last rehab outing in Worcester. He was not good. He had six walks through three innings, and it was just not good. And then he just flipped the script, started throwing 96, and he was nails. And in terms of the decision, I got it. It sort of unraveled pretty quick. You know, he was pretty low in his pitch count. And now I know it was his first outing out, but still, his pitch count and the rehab assignments have been pretty up there. And then you get two outs in the sixth. You get 0-2 on Springer, you walk him. Then you get 0-2 on the next guy, and you give up a home run on an 0-2 pitch. And then, so again, like, it's sort of unraveled in a hurry, and you're still up 6-3, and you figure that they're going to be able to hold it because Whitlock's been really good, and it just doesn't work out. But I do think that was a pretty big takeaway from last night. If they can get that Giolito, that's something.
I want to focus in on the 10th inning, bottom of the 10th. Vladdy Jr. is the ghost runner at second base. Rafaela catches a pop-up. Vlad advances to third. The throw hits him. Maybe it would have got him, maybe not. But Nesson kind of honed in on this after the game, that maybe Rafaela wasn't fully prepared, wasn't fully ready, which is why Vladdy went on that play. What do you think happened? Did anything jump out to you in the 10th inning? And the reason I ask, Rafaela's out there for his defense. He's only hitting .213. So if there are brain farts out there defensively, could there be another move coming at some point from Worcester? But what went down in the 10th?
Is there a lot going on there? Is there a half a brain fart? Is there such a half a brain fart? Because I think that's kind of what that was. Rafaela, you know, he's, you know, yeah, his batting average has been down, but He's actually one of the better ones with runners in scoring position for a team that's not doing very well in that respect. Defensively, he's good, but you're absolutely right. On that play, I noticed that he hadn't really – I think that Vlad absolutely caught him by surprise and wasn't – that wasn't the no doubt about it, Sadon Rafaela, I'm going to get you at third, I'm going to get you at home throw, no question. Now, I think it would have got him if it didn't hit him, but still, you know, that was not probably the best moment of giving an example of how good a fielder this guy is. And in terms of who's getting sent up or sent down, you know, he's not, the Anthony thing isn't happening like right now. It's just not happening. And we can focus on that play with Rafaela, but if you look over the last week, he's certainly been more part of the solution than part of the problem. So we're just going to have to, it's a bizarre dynamic, guys. It is. Because you have two guys who, in Anthony and Meyer, who are ready. I mean, they are ready, except for, you know, Anthony obviously being banged up with a foot thing. But they are ready to play. But there isn't an easy answer in terms of, as up and down as this team is, there isn't an easy answer in terms of they're coming up and they're playing every day right now.
Well, it's funny because Alex Cora was on yesterday talking to Hart and Fitzy, and he was, you know, they were asking him the same kind of ideas about these young guys, and he's like, "Well, it's a really good time to be, you know, a Red Sox," and it's like, "Yeah, for the guys at the major league level, like you can't just say like, hey, Marcelo, this is a good problem for us to have." Like, I'm wondering, like, what kind of communication do those guys have, or sort of like, there's really nothing to say. Like, the team right now is pretty healthy, and you know, could be better, but certainly could be a lot worse. They have guys that deserve to be playing more, so it's just really a holding pattern, right? But like, what kind of communication do they have?
Well, you guys know Marcel Meyer as good as anyone, right?
Yeah, so we're all best friends. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. But I think that it's those guys. You heard it coming out of spring training, didn't you? Where Marcel Meyer, it hurt it with you guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, he wants to be on the team.
I think I should be on the team. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, he got off to a little bit of a slow start because I think you were a little starstruck from talking to you guys for a couple of weeks. But then he goes on this tear and leads like the world in RBIs down there. And Anthony, we all know what he's doing. But I think that they just understand the situation right now. Now, here's the thing: is like, you get either deep in the season or certainly into next season, it becomes a different situation. I mean, you just can't have guys tearing it up like they are. I mean, and not using them. And that's what Cora keeps saying, right? He keeps saying, like, these guys are going to help us. These guys are going to help us. All right, well, we'll find out because they don't want to bring him up and not play him. And so it is a weird situation, particularly because they're not just top prospects. They're top prospects who are actually playing really, really well. Mm-hmm. So good for Worcester. You know, the Worcester Hawks,
that's a good take. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
Brad Vocora was also asked yesterday about Jarren Duran and his response to fans. We've seen him mix it up time and again with fans over the years. I think this one's probably the most justifiable given the reprehensible comments from the fans in Cleveland. But are they concerned at all about how much over the years? Starting in Kansas City, you saw it in the Netflix special, The Clubhouse. He was mixing it up in Seattle. Last year, he was suspended for a couple of games for yelling at a fan, and now this. Are they concerned with that element of Jarren Duran?
No, because I think that, to be honest with you, I think he's handled it pretty well. I mean, this is, you knew that the Netflix thing happened. You put yourself out there. I think 99% was positive, and we all talked about it, and we all heard about it. But, you know, then you have this one idiot who does this. And you know, I think all you need to know in terms of what an outlier that idiot is look at the reaction of the fans around him. I mean, that's in Cleveland. This wasn't like the cool kids at the lunch table saying, "Oh yeah, 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 you get him, you tell him." No, everyone was like, "No, this is an idiot, and here he is, and kick him out." So I do think that was a little bit of an outlier, and you know, I think he hasn't handled it very well. And I do know this: it's like, this isn't a fake thing, man. Like Jarren Duran, in terms of getting behind like this cause and this message and all that, and really trying to help people, whether it's going out and signing autographs after every single day and talking to people without even people knowing about it, like all of that. So I think that he's handled it pretty well. And by the way, he's played really, really well in the last week or so, which is hugely important to this team.
Where are we at now on Tristan Casas? He had two hits on Tuesday. He was 0-for-2 last night, two more strikeouts. He has been walking a little bit more as of late, still hitting, I think it's $181 on the season. So what's the Casas outlook right now?
it feels like he's keeping his head above water just enough to not have everyone go full Roman Anthony at first base, which isn't going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Or someone else at first base. But at the same time, they pinch hit for him, right? They pinch hit for him last night with Roman Gonzalez. I don't think that he has reached, even with a couple hits in the last couple days, he reached the point where they're like, oh, there he is. He's ready to go on the run right now. So I thought that was pretty notable. I mean, I think, you know, Romy's played pretty well, but he isn't the guy who is absolutely going to be your everyday first baseman. He's a guy who can produce in particular spots, and he has. But this, I thought that was pretty telling because in years past, they said, hey, you go, Tristan. Go get him. Lefty, remember, I mean, this is their cleanup hitter at the end of the year, and you're already pinch hitting for him. So, again, keeping his head above water just enough now, but they still got to get better from him.
Pinch hitting for him. He's batting seventh. He's hitting 181. Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Check it out on the Odyssey app, and check him out every Thursday here on Jones and Keefe. Bradford, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Keep up the good work. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Rob Bradford is all our guests joining us here on Jones and Keefe. We got Drake May live from Foxborough. You want to hear from the Patriots quarterback? You'll hear it here on Jones and Keefe next. Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Coming up at high noon, we'll revisit the latest from Bill Belichick and Jordan. Just never stops with these two.
No.
Statement from Bill, response from CBS, yep. Real estate holdings, how she's spending Bill's money. Oh, and we'll go back on the clock if you missed our plans earlier, because it might be time for Bill to push away and separate.
Yeah, and more Jordan our plans, Hudson. Less your plans. Yeah, it seems like some of the listener plans maybe aren't as great.
I think the listener plans went not how we saw them going.
Maybe
we'll lean out of those, but we can lean further into our plans if you missed those earlier. We'll replay them at high noon. We're awaiting Drake May live at the podium in Foxborough. I just wonder where he's been. And maybe he'll get asked about it. Maybe he
will. Well, he was getting engaged, right? He proposed.
But you know what I mean.
No, I wonder
why he hasn't done this yet. Mm-hmm. And Greg had an interesting, I think Greg said this morning. Like, was he waiting for May Day? Was he waiting for May 1st to speak?
That makes sense.
You know, could he be doing that for the synergy there?
I hadn't even thought of that.
Why hadn't he talked the day after the season, the breakup day, as you pointed out? There were a lot of injured players who spoke that day. He didn't play in that game. Well, he did play, but played very limited action against Buffalo. There's no reason not to speak. Where has he been? Why hasn't he spoken? In this kind of setting, he's done, you know, fluffy interviews, one-on-ones here and there, but nothing like this. So I'm curious how it goes, and I want to hear some answers from him.
Yeah, and a lot has changed. I mean, not just, you know, head coach, offensive coordinator, a bunch of receivers. So he has a lot of new teammates. He also has a lot of guys that he played with last year that are gone. And not that David Andrews played all season or anything, but that was the, you know, he was there at first. He's gone. So a lot of the leadership on the team that he joined is all gone. So it's a very different type of season. I'm curious his thoughts on all of it.
You bring up the leadership. He's probably a captain this year, right? I guess I hadn't even really thought about that.
I think every starting quarterback in the NFL is a captain. There might be like one exception. Like, I think Caleb Williams was a captain as a rookie. Jacoby Brissett was a captain to start the year. I think it's almost default, because a lot of coaches will do the thing where like, hey, it's a player vote, and then the coach is like, it's these guys.
Right.
That was always the running joke with Bill.
Yeah.
Like, oh, these
you guys all vote. We don't actually count them.
So we don't use them in any way,
but you guys can vote all you want.
I think it was like Daron Harmon was the captain one year, then the next year he wasn't. Like, the teammates didn't want him to, or you give like punishing him because he had like some stupid thing. Remember he had a thing? I think Gronk was the captain, I think, before the monster truck press conference, and then the next year he wasn't.
Oh yeah, that was
a lot of stupid stuff like that. But no, looking at the team right now, I would say Drake May is an obvious one.
Yeah, and you make a good point. There's been massive changes. New head coach, new offensive coordinator. I mean, effectively, new personnel people. There's new personnel on the team, new offensive line, new wide receivers, new quarterback room for Drake May. So a lot of changes and a lot worth listening to. I'm surprised he hasn't done any of this to this point, but today will be the day.
I wonder how many new guys are going to be captains. Because usually it's like guys that have been there, but then there's...
Wouldn't you think that first wave of guys they signed in free agency will be part of that leadership group? Especially with everybody who's out, Andrews,
Steph
Cardona.
Diggs could be. If Steph Diggs, wasn't he in Houston?
I don't know. Was
I think he might have been, but if he's not available right now, I don't know how they'll do that. But yeah, like Morgan Moses kind of sounds like a captain. Milton Williams, like maybe.
Spillane
definitely could be, or Carlton Davis. Like, yeah, you're right. They did bring in a lot of guys kind of that would fit that fit that bill.
Well, and just you're bringing him in for a reason, and you're getting rid of all the guys on the roster last year for a reason. So I don't think Vrabel's going to empower a lot of the guys who were in last year's locker room. Mm-hmm. I mean, Drake May should be. He's the quarterback. I mean, your quarterback is a captain. I think regardless. They're a leader regardless. They're thrown with that responsibility.
Uh-huh.
But some of the other names, what other holdovers on the team are potential captain material?
There's only one.
Peppers was last year.
I was going to say Peppers.
And he was stripped of it, and he should have been stripped of it, and I'm surprised he's still here.
Yeah.
Like, are you making Ramondre or guys like that on Wenu? Are you making them captains? I'd imagine the only other guy who has a shot is Gonzalez, and he's not exactly the fiery leader type. But maybe he's a lead-by-example type, Keith.
Perhaps. Could be.
But I don't know how many of these guys there are on the roster.
Yeah, I know. And teams kind of vary, but there'll probably be like six of them.
But because Vrabel is trying to, you know, carve out the bad apples, if you will, from last year, and just get rid of as much of last year's team as is humanly possible. He's done a pretty good job of that. I'd imagine the new guys they signed, and specifically the guys they targeted early, I'd imagine they're a big part of the leadership here in New England under Mike Vrabel, as is Drake May. Beyond just where he's been... I want to hear.
Where is he now?
Yeah, well, that
another,
too.
Another question. But where are you now?
But I also
five minutes late.
I also do want to hear about his influence on the roster. And we said this earlier because I'd like to know right now. Did you have a say in who they picked? Did you have a say in Steph Diggs?
Do you think he should?
Yes, I bet he does. You don't think he should?
I don't know. He's won one game.
Okay, well that's fair. But like, okay, back it up. Should a quarterback?
A quarterback, yes.
Not this one. You're saying
not yet.
Not yet.
I feel like I would. I feel like I would at some point.
Right,
like,
maybe I can get on board with that.
I think, you know, young quarterbacks, stuff, like maybe Jaden Daniels after 1 year, I'd be like, all right, you seem like the real deal.
How about as a tiebreaker, though? It's like, hey, Drake, we're looking at these receivers in the third round. Yeah. Jalen Noel, who they didn't draft, or Kyle Williams, who they did. Who do you like? We have them rated similar. Stuff like that. But yeah, you're right. Should he be hand-picking receivers?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't really trust that. Like, I think there's only too many guys, and that's the thing, too, like, there's only so many players you'd really want to really lean on their kind of impact. It's probably when we talk about the top five, six, seven quarterbacks in the league, I don't think it should be every single one of them. I mean, they clearly went offense heavy in the draft to start, which I think is good. And I'm sure he would have signed off on. But yeah, so I think that's an interesting one. And then any kind of like relationship stuff with Joe Milton and as to why he's gone.
I want to hear that for sure. And I bet he doesn't answer that. He's just like, oh, I love Joe. We were great teammates. We got along really well.
Yeah,
we were rookies. Yeah. Like, I'm sure he'll answer it that way, but I don't know. He should be asked it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He gets asked anything. Well, I would ask him this, but do you think he answers anything in the vein of the expectations for this year? Like, hey, do you think you'll be a playoff team this year? Like, do you think
No, I don't think he'll take the cheese. I think for a young guy, like, he's pretty good. Like, you know, his interviews, I don't think he's letting anything, like, out that he shouldn't. He's, like, almost like a classic Patriot in that sense, where there's not a lot of bulletin board material from him. The team last year actually provided quite a bit. All the receivers had stuff to say. Some of the defensive linemen had stuff to say that kind of had legs for a little bit. I don't remember too many quotes from Drake May where you're like, whoa, what does he mean by this? He was like pretty guarded.
No, I would agree with that. But I also, I mean, how good are they feeling down there? It feels like they are.
Yeah, I think it's got to be pretty
good. The draft
was
graded well. People love free agency. We gave you the power rankings the other day from Yahoo. They had the best offseason of anyone, free agency and drafts combined. They got an A. They were number one overall, best offseason.
I think they're feeling pretty good.
Out of any team. So I think they're feeling good. They're feeling good about Vrabel. They're feeling good about the roster. They're feeling good about free agency and the draft. I think they're feeling good about their expectations. So do they let that slip?
Predicting his answer, though, it would be, we just want to get better every day, you know, win each day kind of thing. It's going to be, I bet, kind of cliche-ish, would be my guess.
Text here, 617-779-7937. Harold Landry will be a captain. That's probably true.
Oh, good call. Yeah, probably.
Landry came from Tennessee. That's another guy in that first wave. A lot of people saying Hunter Henry, I guess. Maybe that's another one. He wasn't a captain a year ago. Has he ever been a captain here?
Yeah, I think he was. I thought so, too. One of those guys that, like, oddly was 1 year, then wasn't another. I don't really get it why. Something. I don't know. Yeah, but he could be. Because you don't want like all new guys. I think you want a couple guys.
No, you're gonna have some holdovers. Maybe it'll be him. Maybe
so. This text, I don't agree with this one.
What's that?
Will the Drake May experience be worse than Mac Jones? Showing signs of yes. I don't think it's showing signs of yes.
I mean, yes, sure it is. After 1 year, it's worse.
Oh, like wins and losses, I guess.
I mean, how did you feel after Mac as a rookie, and how did you feel after Drake as a rookie?
I thought Mac was fine as a rookie.
So, I mean, look, I personally already think Drake is better than Mac ever was. But, I mean, like, how did people generically feel about Mac? People felt pretty good about him after 1 year.
They didn't let him throw the ball in the wind.
No, and they dropped four of their last five, and they didn't belong on the same field as Buffalo in a playoff game.
They were in the playoffs, and he was a starting quarterback. So I think, you know, maybe we shouldn't take that too lightly. Like, that's an accomplishment. Drake May won one game, really, as a starter. So Mac Jones won 10 and was in the playoffs. So that is something. But I don't know. There was always sort of that, like, air of, I don't know, he's not that good with Mac Jones. The expectation's a lot higher with Drake May, but I feel like you're right. If you feel like some people have anointed him too soon, that's fair. I think that's a fair take.
Okay. Well, Drake May has already made his weight since prior to the final game of the season.
How about that?
Didn't speak after the Buffalo game.
If you're
speak
early,
the day
you're on
after.
Time. If you're on time, you're late. And if you're late, you're forgotten.
Yeah. He didn't speak the day after the season was over. He's already made us wait till this point. So we'll continue to wait. Here's what we'll do. Let's take a quick timeout. We'll get to your phone call, 617-779-7937. If Drake May decides to actually speak to the media, we'll play
great.
That for you live here on Jones and Keefe. Go nowhere. You won't miss it. And we'll come back, hopefully hear from Drake May. And we have more on Bill and Jordan, of course, as well.